Psalm 51, verse 8. Amen. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Everybody say, make me to hear joy. Say it again. Make me to hear joy. Make me to hear gladness. So this is a psalm. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. This is a psalm that's actually saying, make me find joy after this which I have suffered. Make me be glad. And then he acknowledges God in this. He says, after those bones that you have broken. I suppose that's saying that God did it. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong there. I'll read it again. Hide thy face from my sins. He seems to be talking about God here. And blot out all my iniquities. Well, who else could do that but God? So I believe he's talking to God here. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. In other words, the pain that you have brought into my life is something I need to be rejoicing about and be glad about. You see, whipping sometimes hurt. Chastisement sometimes has pain with it. And there were times when it would have been difficult for my daddy to have made me have joy and gladness right after he showed me his love. That's what he called it. He said, I love you, son. That's why I'm doing this. And this is hurting me more than it is you, son. Never did believe that story. You get that? Yeah. And son, this hurts me more than it does you. But he wasn't the one that had the stripes. I was the one that had the stripes. But this psalmist is saying, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. This is something that we need to bear in mind. When it comes to fixing electronics, wires, gadgets, cars, whatever it is we're working on, we're a little bit less able to do what God can do. So we have to find things to fix things with. But we need to remind ourselves of something here that's in this psalm. God is able to create the solution to your problem. So you got a dirty heart, you got a bad mind, you got a terrible disposition, everything's not exactly as it should be. We can get this fixed quite easy. Praise God. You don't understand some things, it's okay. You can ask God to create what's needed where the problem is. Hallelujah. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You may be seated. And this is a psalm after David has acknowledged some transgressions in his own life. He has done some wrong things. And he goes to God with it. And he says, for I do acknowledge, this is verse 3 there of this psalm, I acknowledge my transgression. That's one thing that we all should find our example in the Word here so that we'll know what to do. Acknowledge our transgression. It's useless to try to cover anything up from God. I mean, He watches you where you hide it. You know, it's like you're trying to cover it up. He sees you when you start thinking about covering it up, and sees your motive, and he sees what you're trying to do. He knows right where you hid things away. Everything's out in the open to God. So what's the use of trying to cover anything up? Or try to think it's all right when it's not all right? Everybody needs a Brother Bradley to be along your side all the time. So, and when I say Brother Bradley, actually I'm talking about a God who can see the problem. I'm not saying you're God. But everybody needs somebody that can help you to realize that this thing can be fixed, but you first got to acknowledge there is a problem. Hallelujah. Amen. You ever see that light come on in your car when you're driving? Some light that comes on? I had one, a red one came on several times while I was driving. I tried to ignore it. I tried to ignore it years ago, but it just kept coming on. I thought about maybe pulling the wire out behind it. Maybe that would keep it from coming on. But it just kept coming on. And I would drive, and it would come on. And I decided, well, it looked like maybe it's a water light. I didn't bother to read the word. I just saw the light, and it looked like a little water thing, you know, something you pour water with. Yeah, water spelled O-I-L. But I didn't read the O-I-L. I just saw the picture and thought, well, it needs water. So I stopped, and it didn't have to have much water. I put water in it, but it filled it up. And I thought, well, that should fix it. Took off, and that water light came on again. I thought, it must have a leak. Now, the solution to the problem would have been easy if I could have just taken a little more time, like we did with that wire the other night. We went through a lot of stuff, lifted things, moved things, tried things, did all this, to find out that the problem was really something really small. Really small. If I had just taken the time to just stop looking at the picture and look at the word under the picture, I would have known that didn't mean water. O-I-L does not spell water. That was the word under the picture. But I was thinking the picture looks like it's meant for water. So I was looking at what lights up, what catches my attention, what's most noticeable, and I was drawing my own conclusion. It has to be water because it looks like water. It looks like it means water. I mean, why else would they draw a thing that looks like a water pot on there to represent that unless it's water? So it has to be water. All I had to do is look down less than half an inch and see O-I-L. I don't have to read words when I know what it means. I don't have to read the Bible when I already know what to do. That's what we run into. I don't have to read the words when I already know the answers. That's where we're running into problems. And yet, the human race is constantly having big problems and they don't know how to fix the problem. And it just gets worse and worse, and it piles up, and it piles up, and it piles up. And to where it just gets crazy. I mean, it got crazy that day when I had stopped several times to put water in the radiator. And it didn't need any more water. And I thought, what a crazy car. It asks for water, I give it water, and it doesn't want the water. And then something started happening. It sounded at first like somebody's knocking on the door, but I was driving 80 miles an hour. It was, you know, who could be knocking on my door going this fast? Something like, and it wouldn't stop knocking. Wasn't anybody standing outside because I was going tight fast. But whoever it was really wanted to come in because they wouldn't stop knocking. And it was still needing some water. That light was still shining on there. It still needed water. And I thought, well, I don't know what that is. Probably a fan belt or something. I'll just keep on driving. And that light just kept on lighting up. Man, why do you want water for? I already gave you water. And after a while, that knock got louder and louder and louder. And finally it went boom! And the car went, and then it said, uh-uh. I heard a lot of lessons after that from my father, from a garage, from people on the, in the community. A lot of folks said, son, you know, they talked down to me. It's like they knew so much. You know, somebody knows what OIL spells. They think they know everything about a car. I heard my dad say several times, son, you got to have oil in the car. Well, I know that, Daddy. Well, why didn't you put oil? I said, because the water light kept coming on. He said, come here a minute. Come here a minute. He had a way to say, come here a minute. Come here a minute. I didn't like that. I didn't like the way he said, come here a minute. Just like in church, you know, my mother would call on me sometimes. She'd say, Rendell. And I'd just not paying attention to her. Rendell, as a little boy. Rendell? Rendell. But when she said, Rendell Gale Rutledge. Man, whatever it was that she needed, I was ready to do it right then because I knew what was coming next. Rendell, you can ignore that, but if she said Rendell Gale Rutledge, I didn't dare to hesitate. Whatever it is Mama wanted, Mama would get it because I knew I was going to get it if she didn't get it. And my dad had that certain way about him. He could just be preaching, and I could be doing my thing. But when he would stop preaching, say, man, I could straighten up and I could be an angel.
Hallelujah.
Because there had been those times of learning experiences that I knew something about the sting of death while yet alive. There had been those times when I would run and grab my daddy's leg and squeeze my arms around that big old leg of his, throw my legs around his leg, and hold on for dear life while he tried to get to me with that belt. And I'd yell while I held on to his leg while he walked around with me on that leg, said, let's pray, Daddy! Let's pray, Daddy! And when I'd hold on to that leg, sometimes he would miss me and hit himself. And I'd say, ha ha, but that didn't help. He would look at me and go, that meant something. Rendell Gale Rutledge meant something. I didn't know what it meant, but I knew what I didn't want it to be. Because I'd been there, done that, didn't want no more. Didn't want no more. You learn. To experience. And they kept telling me when he said, come here, come here. And it's just something about, you know, he got in that certain mood. I thought it was a devil back then, you know. I mean, how could a Christian act like that? But I went with him. No matter what it was, I knew not to hold back. And he said, come here with me. I'm talking about I was 21 years old when this is going on. I was married. Grown up, knew everything. Come here. He opened that car door and almost took it off its hinge. He said, you see that right there? I said, what? O-I-L. Yes, sir. I see it. What does it spell? He had that fire in his eyes. I wouldn't have said water then for fame or fortune. I told him what it spelled. He said, well, why are you telling me what it spells now? Didn't you know it spelled that when you were driving it? I said, I knew it spelled that. Well, why didn't you stop and get some oil? Well, I thought it meant water. You thought O-I-L meant water? No, I didn't think O-I-L, but I was nervous. You know, when Dad would get me to a certain spot, I'd get nervous, so I'd lose my ability to think straight. Yeah. Even when I was 24 years old, I was having this problem. When I was 26, he came to hear me preach, and I became speechless before him. And he sat back there to praise God with his arms folded. That made me nervous, even when he folded his arms. you thought O-I-L meant water. I said, I didn't mean I thought O. Well, what did you mean? Before I could even explain, what did you mean? I was trying to tell you, Dad. Trying to tell me, you know, now you don't know. What do you know? What do you not know? What are you talking about? Well, I'm trying to say, why don't you go ahead and say what it is you mean? Now, he spanked me the last time 1 week before I got married. And then he married me the next week. Child abuse people, he's dead, so don't bother with him. He's okay. What do you mean? What? But I tried to explain. I couldn't explain. How do you explain your way out of ignorance? Ain't no cure for stupid, Brother Joe. Ain't no, you might as well just go ahead and acknowledge your transgressions, your mistakes, what you've done wrong, how... You know, now that I've come this far, I know the best thing I could have done, you know, is say, Dad, I'm completely ignorant. I was an idiot. Because he was going to tell me that anyhow, so it would be better for me to just go ahead and say it. I really goofed up, you know. It would have made him happy to hear me say that. Because I look back now, I raised a couple of daughters, and it would have made me hear them. It made me happy to hear them say that they really did goof up a couple of times. But they wouldn't admit it. I don't think they'd admitted it for $1,000 that they made some kind of a mistake. There's something about kids, they're always right. Nobody else knows what kids know. Especially when you become a teenager. And I'm not throwing this at any teenagers here. But if you're a teenager and you know everything, your day's coming, buddy. Time's going to go by. You're going to find out you was an ignorant fool during these days. You better start listening to some adults now because you're going to listen to us later anyway. We done been there and done that, and anything you can think of, we've been through it already. You just don't think we have, and you don't know it, and you know everything. And I'm talking about myself. That's the way I was when I was a teenager, and everybody else has to be that way if I was that way, right? So. How many of you thought you knew a lot when you were a teenager? How many of you thought the older people didn't know much? How many of you thought you knew more than your teacher sometimes? How many of you thought that you knew more than your parents sometimes? You know what my mama did to me one time? And by the way, people on the internet, almost everybody raised their hand on every question there. And I think all of you can relate to this. You know what my mama did to me one time? This is terrible. I mean, back then, you know, everything that was on my mind was, she's mean. She's awful. She's probably watching me right now. So I got to, Mom, don't turn me off yet. I got to finish this. Because she'd still whip me, I think. But I was sitting at this kitchen table, eating. Just eating. Quiet as a mouse. Minding my own business. Doing nothing wrong. Nothing. And Mom started staring at me. And I said, what? She said, whatever it is, you're going to get it. What? Don't talk to me like that. All I did was say, what? I was just eating. I said, what? She said, now you got an attitude. What did I do? I don't know what it was, but there never has been a time you wasn't doing something. Randall Gale Rutledge. And then she went and got the belt. What'd I do? You know, the best thing I could have done was say, I don't know what it was, Mom. I don't know what's going on, but I've done so much, I deserve a whipping. Whip me hard. I probably would have. But no, she knew me too well. She probably thought I'd done figured that one out too. It's hard to get out of these things sometimes. Besides that, I wasn't a good actor back then. What? I'm going to tell you, kids, learn this early. Learn this early. Even if you've done anything, nothing wrong, nothing. You didn't do anything wrong. Just a simple word with the wrong tone can get you in trouble. What? Me? You accusing me? What'd I do? You start acting like that, somebody's going to say, it don't matter what you did, you're going to get it. Because it's not what you did, it's what you're doing now. You don't even realize how sick and sad you look and how stupid you're acting. But I didn't do anything! And before she even got to me with the belt, I was going, ah! I'm innocent! You're cruel to an innocent victim! I remember one time I was running from my mom, and she had a belt, and she was missing every time. I was running from her, and I'd go, ha-ha, you missed. That's not a way to act when somebody's chasing, especially when it's your parent. But I was getting away from for a while. I was getting away. And I hear that thing go, and I'd say, whoa, you missed again. And I'd run. We were in a house where we lived, and the hallways went around inside the house. So it's just a big old circle, a bunch of rooms off to the side, but we go around and around, and I just run. I go, you missed. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night. Well, I'm going to tell you something. In my case, laughing only endured for a moment. Because you missed. It was fun while it lasted. But you get to that point where you turn the corner and there's that big man standing there with another belt in his hand to meet you. Now I'm caught in between. If I go that way, she'll get me. If I keep going that way, he'll get me. So I just stopped and they both got me. Best thing to do, go ahead and just don't let that happen. I could tell you a lot of horror stories. I could write books about these episodes. Kids, what kids should not do, because I did all the things that a kid should not do. All of them. And I didn't do what we should do from our heart, and that is acknowledge I could be wrong. If you can start there, you might find out that you are able to admit that you are wrong. And even if what you're thinking about seems right, possibly somebody sees something you don't see or knows something you don't know. Amen. And so something that we think, you know, everything's all set. And so we'll go on and nothing gets corrected. So God comes along. He says, but you're my child. And I'm not going to let you get past this point because I love you too much. And what we need to do is, rather than rebel against God like we did when we were children against parents sometimes, is just go ahead and acknowledge the transgression. Because he already knows. And no matter what kind of a fight we put up, saying, you know, everybody else is doing it, so what's wrong with me doing it too? Don't talk to God that way. What could be wrong with this? I don't see it in the Bible where you say anything about that. Back off, kids. Don't talk to God like your Heavenly Father. He's wanting to help you through this crisis. But if all you're going to do is argue with him and throw a fit like you did when you were a child, like a spoiled brat, he's going to whip up on you. God's going to whip you. You're no match against God, so it's better just to go ahead and say, Lord, whatever it takes, I'm willing. If you can come to the part of humbling down before he humbles you down, I promise you it's better every time. Because he will humble us down. But he instructs us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of the Lord. Praise God. So he won't have to break your bones. He may not literally break your bones, but you'll feel like he has broken your bones when he gets through with you. Because his desire, his only desire for our life, is for us to grow and be strengthened, and for us to be nourished in the Spirit, and for us to find greater meanings of life and greater values and greater things to live for that He has for all of us. And He wants us to enjoy the good things in life. But if we become like little brats in the household of God, then He's going to have to do something about it, because He wants us to stay with Him. And He knows that in our hearts, that's where we want to be. I mean, where else do we want to go? Do we want to go out into the world and just be a devil? We've already been out there. We know what that's all about. No. So you get in trouble with God, what's the best thing to do? Grab a hold of Him and say, "Let's pray, Daddy." Don't run from Him, because He's finally going to catch up with you. He'll be behind you, then He's going to step out in front of you, and it'll both be Him, and there's not even two of them. There's just one, but it'll still both be Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So David said, "I acknowledge my transgression." He started it off this way. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." That's a good thing to say to God. "God, have mercy on me according to your love and your kindness. Have mercy on me." Because God is a loving God. He's a kind God. "God, have mercy on me according to thy loving kindness, according to a multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Hallelujah. "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when you speakest, and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. And behold, you desire truth in the inward parts." He just wants us to be real. Just wants us to be real. "And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Hallelujah. This is the word of God in the psalm. When you don't know how to get out of the mess you're in with God, you don't know the words to say, read some words like these. This kind of tells it like it is, and it's the best way to approach God. "Lord, be merciful in your tenderness and in your kindness and in your love to me, for I have done wrong, and my wrong is against you. I need your help." Hallelujah. "I know that I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong, made mistakes, and I came from a family that we all made mistakes, and I entered into this world of sin, and sin is in my life, and I need help." That'll always get God's attention, because He loves you. He don't want to whip it out of you. He will if He has to, because He does love you enough to chastise you because you're His child. But I'm promising you, it's better to get it loved out of you than it is to get it whipped out of you. Hallelujah. You can bypass the pain and enjoy the tenderness. You can bypass that harshness that is in God, because He is a mighty God. He is a strong God. He is a God of vengeance. He's a God of war. He's a God that wants to get things right. He's also a loving, kind, tender, compassionate, merciful God who says, "Come unto me. Just come unto me. You who have messed up, you who are weak and heavy laden, come unto me. Come boldly to the throne in the time of need." See, what we all do as children sometimes is run from the throne, because we do have those needs. I'm guilty. I've goofed. I've got a problem. And it's not just a problem I've got now. It's part of another problem I had before that I never straightened out. And now He knows all about that one too. And before that, and there was another one. And then before that one, there was this one. I never did get this one straight even then. And now, even that other problem I had that goes with this and goes back a long ways. In fact, this all goes back 20 years, and I've been doing all this over and over and over. But now I'm sure God doesn't even want me anymore. That's the way we think. And He just keeps on saying, come here. And it's not one of these, but it's, come here. I'll give you rest. You who are weak and all burdened down with your problems and your mistakes, come here. Come here. Me? You. Remember, God's not like the parents were sometimes when they dealt with us. Sometimes our parents didn't know what to do. I saw my dad weep sometimes. I heard him say, God, I'm a failure. I heard him say it. I heard him, as he leaned against the wall on his arm with tears streaming down his cheek, I see him right now just like it was. He was leaning against that wall and said, oh, God, I'm a failure as a daddy. Oh, I'm sorry. Why is he doing that? It's all about me. But see, God's not like that. He's not going to lean against the wall and say, I'm a failure as a God. He knows what to do. My daddy used to sit me down with somebody else and say, I've had it. I don't know what else to do, so you take him. I didn't want to go with that old man. No, daddy, I won't stay with you. Well, act like it then. One time he threatened to just let me out on the street in the middle of town. I didn't want to be out there by myself. I know he wouldn't have done it, you know, but he was just at one of those points he didn't know what to do. And so he said, what do you want me to do? Stop the car and just let you out so we won't have this problem anymore? Because he'd learned to turn around and gave me that look and he pointed his finger because he said, I'll tell you one thing. If you say one more word, something's going to happen. Hallelujah.
Oh, God, I don't know what to do. I tried everything. Nothing works.
And it's all about his child. But when God looks at us and everything's gone wrong that could go wrong, he just says, come here. I still love you. What seems to be the problem? Now, this is the way God operates. What seems to be the problem? Just like parents do sometimes. Good parents will do this sometimes. Even good parents that don't do it are good even when they don't do it. But they do it sometimes. If they can get the belt off their mind. Come here and tell me what seems to be the problem. Come here and sit on Daddy's lap. Talk to me. I don't think my daddy ever did that to me because I was too mean all the time. I don't think he wanted to get his suit dirty because I was a rascal. But I was just a normal kid. I learned all my tricks from the church kids. Anyway, that's what I told everybody. I said, you're the preacher's boy, aren't you? Yeah, but I'm learning what I'm doing from your kids. That didn't go over either. Come here. Come here. Come to me. Now, our mentality, we grow up with this thinking, if Daddy wants me, he's going to get me. But that's not the way it is with God. If God's wanting you to come to him, he's just wanting you to get up now and go there and get this thing fixed. Because he can fix it now. It's this putting it off and doing it over and trying to repent of it and doing it again and trying to repent of it. It's like me driving down the road thinking everything's all right even though that light's still coming on. The light's shining, I'm okay, right? Let your light shine. Ah, glory, hallelujah. Knowing something's not quite right because there's a knocking going on. Well, I'm going fast. I'm doing everything I can for God. Who's that knocking? What is that? I'm going too fast for anybody to be knocking at my door. It's Jesus. I don't care how fast you're going, he can still stand at your door and knock. Just don't keep going until it becomes a boom and a Then you're going to get that. Come here. Look at this. Didn't you read it in the Bible? Don't you know? Hey, look. God can deal with you like that, and he has many times. And if he didn't, you would not be considered his child. But since you are his child, and if you're not going to come to him in the softness in the acknowledge of the wrong way, in the proper way of asking for mercy and listening to what He has to say and talking to Him out of your heart, then because He loves you so much, He will pull the rug out from under you and maybe make you come to the point where you pray, "Oh God, help me. Help me to find joy since You broke my bones. Help me to enjoy some gladness after You've brought this pain on me." But don't blame God. You know, just experience what you got to go through, because no matter how it hurts to have to admit after He has chastised us that we've been wrong and we've done wrong, no matter how much that hurts, it's still worth what's going to happen afterwards. Amen. Just to get past that, whatever it is. And no matter how many times it happened, there's so many people still have that childlike mentality. Because nobody caught me, it's the same as if it didn't happen. And some people, when they repent, it's only because they got caught. You know what I'm saying? "Oh, I'm sorry." Sorry for what? "You know what I did. That's what I'm sorry for. I didn't mean for anybody to find out." "God, I'm sorry." "Sorry for what?" "They know." And see, that kind of a prayer, that kind of confession won't help you. It won't help anybody. It's before you get caught. God wants those tears to start coming forth. Before somebody else knows, God already knows. And He says, "Come here. There's not one thing I don't know about you, and I still love you. But Lord, my heart is not clean. My mind is not pure. I'm a sinner every way you look at it." You think God doesn't know it? But He's glad for you to acknowledge it. And no matter what it is, it's not too hard for God to fix, even if He has to create whatever it is that needs to be fixed. Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a pure mind. And if you search me, and this is one of the ways that David said it, "Search me, O God. Search me." It wasn't like a child said, "Take a look, and if you find anything wrong, fix it." No, it was like, "Search me. And if you find anything it shouldn't be, take it out. I don't want anything there. Something I don't know about." It wasn't like, "Search me and see if you can find it with a bad attitude." It's, "Search me with a good attitude. Search me. If there's something I missed, take it, Lord. Take it out. I don't want to be unfit for You. I don't want to be a mess in Your sight. Search me. Search me, O God. Search me. Search me. And if you find anything that shouldn't be, fix it for me." Amen. He loves that. God loves that. And I'm sure when He searches us, He finds things we didn't even know were wrong. And that's why after we pray that kind of prayer and we start getting those blessings, sometimes we don't even know why we're so blessed, why we're so happy, why things are going so well. It could be that something you didn't even know about got fixed. Praise God. Something you didn't even know about got fixed. Sometimes when you're praying in the Spirit, and you don't even know what you're saying, God is fixing things because the Spirit knows what's going on. Sometimes in groanings that nobody understands. It doesn't even sound like words. I'm telling you, I've been there. I know what it is. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to bear with what I was going through. I didn't know how to cope with the problem I was having to face. And that can be praying in the Spirit, if you know what I'm talking about. If your heart is tuned toward God and your mind is set, "I'm going to serve Him no matter what I have to go through," and you're going to be with Him in the end of this no matter what it takes, then sometimes you just groan in the midst of the problem because you don't know what to say. You don't know how to deal with it. And you don't know, and I'm talking generally for everybody now, I'm not talking about just me. I'm talking about the human nature comes to the point when I don't know how to fix what I've messed up. and don't know what to say because I've said it so many times to God and still messed up. And I promised God things that I've never kept my word over and over. Here I am again, having done that again. When's he going to get tired of me coming to him? Well, it's God doesn't get tired. Just like he doesn't have to have sleep. He doesn't get tired. And if you've got to go to him over and over, you might get tired. You might get to thinking, hey, he's bound to be frustrated. No, you're the one that's getting frustrated. You can never go to God too many times or so many times that you just wear him out. You might get worn out being a transgressor, because the way of a transgressor is hard. But the best way for a transgressor to do after he's gone through the hard times is go back to God anyway. But I've been there 100,000 times. Go again. But it's just going to be like it was before. Well, it probably will, since you're thinking like that. But go anyway. How does it all end? How do you stop it? By stopping and look at the word just under the light. See if you got any oil in your life. Don't let your oil leak out. It's not all about water. Sometimes it's about the spirit too. Born of water and spirit. Baptized in Jesus' name, but also baptized in the Holy Ghost. You can keep adding water all you want to, but you got to have the spirit, which is the oil of gladness. Don't wait until Father says, come here. Look at that. Look at it now. Check your oil before the knock comes. And then you can enjoy the sweetness of gladness and joy before you have to crawl up to the throne and say, I don't know what to do. Groaning words that you don't even understand what it's all about. Thank you, Jesus. A mechanic was working on our car once. We were stranded on the side of the road. We were poor people. We didn't have much. Had old cars, old junk piles. Kind I give Brother Arthur, and he puts another 100,000 miles on them. He's got a truck right now he's fixing to put on the road, and I've driven the fire of that thing. But to him, it's a new car. But we were stranded on the side of the road, and his mechanic said, I can fix it. I think he was a teenager. They can fix everything. I'm not mad toward teenagers. I love teenagers. I just know what we were like. I can fix it. I know what to do, exactly what to do. And charge you $10. That's all I'll charge you. That's a lot of money. Back then it was. I mean, a dollar's worth of gas lasts just all week, and we still had gas left over. 18 cents a gallon. In a gas war, sometimes it got down to 14 cents a gallon. Service station go down to 14 cents, and one up the street go down to 12 even, just to get your business, and then they go back up to 16 cents, and we thought, that's highway robbery. That's hard to imagine nowadays, isn't it? Gasoline being 14 cents a gallon. 16 cents a gallon. We always went where there's a group of service stations. You could always find the best deal. I remember one time it was 11 cents a gallon on one pump. That's where all the cars were lined up, for just that one penny. Amen. It's been a while. I'm not all that old. I sound like it, but I'm not all that old. I never, during those years, back in 1950, 1951, and 1952, I never heard the word fill up the tank. I never heard anybody say fill it up. Never heard it. I never heard of anybody filling their gas tank up with gasoline when I was 6 and 7 years old. What'd you say? Oh, I'm fine. Take off my glasses. Maybe I'm doing the flashy. It's my oil light. Never heard of fill it up. All I ever heard was when you drive up to the gas pump, and this is all my friends and all my neighbors too. Dollar first, please. That's a lot of gas when it's 14 cents a gallon. Dollar's worth, please. You get a dollar's worth, please, now you may not get out of the parking lot. Yeah, yeah, you got that little... he's like a monkey on a yellow coconut driving around there. Yeah, he's a smart one among us. Yeah, he's all over this town. Makes me want one, too. Yeah. But this guy was, young guy was said, I can fix that. My dad handed him $10. He shouldn't have given him money up front, but he did. I believe it was 10 bucks. And he was up under there working and whistling and kind of singing. And you could hear this under the car. He was under there working. And then I heard it, we could hear him go, and he was trying to pull something. And we'd see his leg sticking out under that car, and he'd get all tense and he'd like that. And then he'd go, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then after a while, he went, mm-hmm, and went boom. He's, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then it got real quiet. And we stood there. Just a little boy. We just stood there. And he came out a lot slower than he went under the car. When he started to fix it, he said, I can do it, no problem. No, I'll take care of it for you, no problem. Crawled under there real fast and he went to work. But when he came out, he was just crawling like a real slow worm that was starving to death, you know. And he said, there seems to be something wrong with it beyond our ability to fix. He broke it. That's what he did. Amen. Let's praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bottom line of it all tonight, whatever it is, go ahead and stop now before the rod starts knocking. Go ahead and stop now, since you already don't know what it is that's wrong sometimes. And when you do know what is wrong, don't just keep going. Let's go ahead and get it fixed. Even if it's nothing but a signal, you don't know where it's coming from, just a little hum somewhere, stop right where you are. And start talking to the one who knows what to do. He's not a know-it-all kid. He is one who knows what to do. And he will go under the problem real fast, and when he's through fixing it, he'll come out real fast, and he'll be smiling and say, I told you I could take care of it. Come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden. Don't ever think that you sin too much for God to fix it. It doesn't matter. This is better than any kind of an old used car you could trade in for a new one. Your life, no matter what a wreck it is, God says, give it to me. And he gives you a brand new one. You trade your old way for a new and living way. And there's a lot better gas mileage in this one too. And it don't use near as much oil. God bless you. Praise God. Amen. Oh, here you are.
Amen. Let's all stand tonight. Praise the Lord. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you for the word of the Lord. We thank you for the word of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you for the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Daddy knows best. Hallelujah. Now tonight, before we go, we're going to give you another moment here just to look to God. This is the type of message that This is exactly what he was demonstrating. Come here. Because God knows where everybody is, and he's not sitting you on top of the pulpit and pinning you out and saying, you know, you're a loser, and we want all the church to know it. He's not doing that, but it's a message of love and recognition that possibly there's some issues under your hood. And all he's wanting to do is get his hands in there. And that's worth saying. Acknowledge him in all your ways, even those ways that aren't good, because he's got the solution. Because we'd be surprised in the apostolic church around the world how many people come to church, sit on the pew, and there's something wrong under the hood. And they're never really dealing with it because they're running. They're feeling like God doesn't love me anymore. He can't fix it. He doesn't care. I'll keep messing up. There's a problem. There's some knocking going on. And all he's saying is it doesn't have to be that way.
That's true.
He can get the knocking out so you can live for God and walk with God and know what this is like up here. Instead of always being down here with your face in the dirt all the time, with hidden things of the heart. As he also said in the other psalm, Lord, cleanse me from those presumptuous sins and from those secret faults. All he's here, look, I've been there. I've been in those pews. I've been in those moments where I had some knocking under my hood and a message came across. And it was the hand of the Lord reaching for me because he knew he had some strength for me. He knew I wanted to live right. I really wanted to walk this walk. And he had the answer. So tonight, don't leave sorrowful. If you're here and there's a need in your life, no matter what it might be, let Jesus fix it for you. Praise the Lord. So come, whether in your chair or here. By coming, I'm not saying you're doing anything wrong. It's just, let's take some time and respond to the word of the Lord. And it may be just an attitude. It may be just something that's bothering you. Praise God. No matter what it is. This is a message tonight. A beautiful message. And a loving invitation we all need. Every one of us need this. Hallelujah. Every one of us need this. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you. Thank you for just loving us right now. And caring about us. And even those small things that, Lord, may be through our day every day that just get under our skin. And you want to be the one under our skin. Hallelujah. Thank you for the grace and the strength tonight. Thank you for the love and the hope and the mercy that sound from heaven will be the sound that's being heard. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for hearing us when we call. For enlarging us when we're in distress. For having mercy upon me. Thank you, Jesus, for cleansing my thoughts and renewing my spirit.
Yes, Jesus.
Cleansing me from worldly ways that tried to creep in and the influence of the world that says you're mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that we can finally put to rest this old man in his deeds. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for rescuing us, Lord, when we were in the mud and yet pretending to be Pentecostal. Glory, glory, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for fixing, for loving us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
creation, of all creation, God saw Calvary. In the beginning, a lamb was slain. In the master's plan, his mind conceived our human needs before he made a man. The world's foundation, hope of all creation, leading lamb of Calvary. One more time before we go. I've had problems, none to compare with the problems at the cross. I've had some pain, but oh, what pain he must have suffered for. Before God made earth, he provided for you and me. From the foundations